Now we're going to look first of all in our Bible reading this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'd like to call your attention to a verse here that, the Lord willing, we may come back and look at again during the year. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read just one verse. I'd like to read the context, but we won't do that tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. This is one of those verses in the writings of the Apostle Paul where he lays out for us one of the key truths of Scripture in his life, what the Lord has taught him and what the Lord has led him to do. We walk by faith, not by sight. I think it's probably almost 50 years ago the Lord brought this verse to my attention, and it became a really important verse in my life. But I want to talk to you about what this verse means about walking by faith. This is not talking about the motions of our feet. This is not talking about the coordination of our muscles moving our legs. This is talking about the Christian life. For we Christians live daily, step by step, circumstance by circumstance, emergency by emergency, and we do that by faith in the Lord, trusting God, rather than by sight. And then the word sight that's used here is not a word that talks about the eyes. You know, we have optometrists, and there are ophthalmologists that deal with eyesight. But this word is not that word. This is the word, eidos, that has to do with appearance, the way things look, and not just to the eyes, but the impression we get from any situation. So the Lord inspired the Apostle Paul to say, we live daily, test by test, circumstance by circumstance, emergency by emergency, opportunity by opportunity, not according to the way things look, but by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, when we talk about the way things look, God gave us five senses. All of you are familiar that our bodies have five ways of perceiving the world, of seeing what's going on around us. We use our eyes. We use our ears. We use the sense of smell. We use the sense of taste, and we use the sense of touch. And so we use five senses to get an impression as to what is going on around us. And people who, several hundred years ago, were men of science, used to believe that science had to do with observations that were made using the five senses. How did it look? How did it smell? How did it taste? How did it sound? How did it feel? And they would draw conclusions from those five senses, and they said, that's the scientific method. But, you know, that's all changed. And now evolutionists don't depend on that. They'll violate the scientific method in order to support evolution. Well, we're not looking at evolution tonight. But what we are doing is learning a principle, a precept, a Bible precept, that many times the impression we get in the world of what's going on is entirely wrong. Because God said He wanted us to do something entirely different that does not agree at all with the way things look. So I'm going to ask you, tell me some examples in the Bible of people who walked by faith. Now, Josiah, you're not allowed to talk about this, okay? So you have to pull the handbrake on tonight, because he was with me at Ravenshill this afternoon when we looked at some examples of this. But who is an example in the Bible of someone that when they looked at their circumstances and they looked at their situation, they said, God says to act or live or move or speak or to serve Him in direct violation of the way everything looks. Who's someone like that, Brad? Noah. Very good. Because there had never been any rain. Noah built an ark. Everybody would have said, that's strange. Very good example. Who's that? Abraham, when he sacrificed Isaac. Because it looked like he was going to kill Isaac and that was the end of it. But God had a plan. All right, someone else. James, did you have your hand up? I'll come back to you. All right, Cam. Abraham, when he left Ur of the Chaldees and the Lord led him to a place that he had not seen and he did not know, but in walking by faith, God led him to the land that he would later give them as a possession. David? Gideon, very good. Tell us about that one. Did that look good? It didn't look good. But it was God's plan, wasn't it? And it was right. And Gideon learned to walk by faith. Now, you've listed some that I haven't thought of in a long time, if ever. Job. Oh, boy. Tell us how Job had to learn to walk by faith. He had to trust the Lord when everything was going bad. Very true. Was that a Phias hand or was that Troy's hand back there? Troy? The Lord Jesus is the perfect example of walking by faith in every circumstance, in every situation. Someone else? One more. Somebody else? Okay, Cam. Enoch. He walked with God. He walked with God. This matter of how we walk is really, really important. And again, we're not talking about putting one foot in front of the other. We're talking about how we live moment by moment in the Christian life. And if you think about this, walking has to do with a regular progression. It has to do with growth. It has to do with following the Lord, walking with the Lord. And the Lord tells us a lot of things about our walk. He says we're to walk in love. We're to walk in the light. We're to walk circumspectly. We're to walk honestly. And there are probably about a dozen of those descriptions of how we who know Christ are to walk as believers in the Lord Jesus. But we're to walk by faith, not by sight. I want to give you one example. No, we won't. We won't go there. We will go instead to Joshua chapter 3. And I want you to go here in Joshua with me. It is now 1 minute past 7 o'clock. And we will do our best to be finished by 20 past. And everyone said, no, it's not possible. Joshua chapter 3, and I want you to look with me, please, in Joshua chapter 3, verse number 9. And we're going to read quite a few verses and then try to draw some simple lessons from them. Joshua chapter 3, verse 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Into the Jordan River. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest. As soon as the soles of their feet shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. If I am going to walk by faith, I am going to have to get my feet wet. If you are going to walk by faith, you are going to have to get your feet wet. The Jordan River, at this time of the year, the Scripture says it overfloweth all her banks. The historians tell us that it was at least 4 to 5 meters deep. It was rushing down. The snows from Mount Hermon are melting after the winter. In the time of harvest, it's outside all its banks. This is a time when they could get rain, but it was out of all of its banks, and the Lord's command was to the priests, go down and stand in the water. Let's have a look at what walking by faith involved for them. Please consider with me that the priests and the people here could not depend on their five senses. If they looked, they said, we would be fools to try to cross a flooded river with all of these people, 600,000 soldiers, their wives, their children, their old people, their infants, their flocks and herds, whatever they had. We would be so foolish if we walked by sight to cross the river. If we walked by hearing, we can hear the waters coming down. If we walk by touch, we can see. If we go by appearance, we are in trouble. This is not a good idea if we walk by sight. But they walked by faith. And when they walked by faith, we're told that when the priests stepped down into the water, the Lord cut the waters off. You know, the Sea of Galilee was upstream. The Sea of Galilee is below sea level. You know that. The Dead Sea is far, far below sea level. It's about 1,500 feet, about 500 meters below sea level. The Sea of Galilee is also below sea level. It's only about 100, 150 meters below sea level. And the Jordan River that comes down is a swift-flowing river. It's called the Descender. It means the descender. And it comes down swiftly. The Mount Hermon, the snowy mountain, is in Syria, and the streams from Mount Hermon come down through the Sea of Galilee and down the Jordan into the Dead Sea. And here they were, right over against Jericho, just north of Jericho, and the Lord says that He cut off the waters from Adam, Zaratan. If you look on your maps, you'll have a hard time finding Adam or Zaratan. Have a look. If you can find it, please show us after. But the distance was about 32 kilometers north of where they were, about 20 miles in the old scale. And the reason it was so far is there were so many people that had to cross. And so the people, instead of being just lined up behind the priest, were spread all along the riverbank for a long way, but none of them crossed until those close to the priest could see that the priests were going down further and further down into the channel, down into the bed of the Jordan, until the priests had reached the bottom. The waters have failed. They've gone down. The priests are standing dry shod, and then the people were able to cross over quickly, and the priests walked out, and the river came back. Otherwise, how do you think you'd get 2 to 3 million Jews across the river in a narrow crossing like that? They were spread out all along the river. We have the priests then, walking by faith, and I've often tried to picture this in my mind, what it would have been like for them to do that. Now, why did they do it? How did they do it? Go with me to chapter 1 in the book of Joshua, and I want you to see what they walked on, what they stepped on. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2, they stepped on the promises. We often sing that hymn, Standing on the Promises. they stepped on the promises. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead, the Lord says to Joshua, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. The priest could stand there on the brink of the Jordan River and say, that land is ours. God has given it to us so we can walk by faith. To rest on the promises no matter what the situation looks like. And then look with me at another verse that they could step on. And that is found in chapter 1, verse number 11. Here's another promise. Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, prepare you food, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So the priests are standing here and they say, well, number one promise is, the land is ours. Number two promise is, it's the day the Lord said we would have the land. Because He set a date on it. This is the day. The land is ours and we can take it now. And then in chapter 3 and verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. That's the day before the priest stepped into the water and the Lord cut the waters off. The day before the priest stepped down and began to walk by faith across the water. Now, God's promises are conveyed to us through God's words. That's why it's so important to be reading and reading and reading our Bibles. I'm not saying to you that you need to read 3 chapters or 5 chapters or 10 chapters a day. Sometimes it's better to read a short passage and really feed on what you're finding and really stay in that and maybe read it over and over and over again and digest the promises of God to where you say, you know, this is really true. This is really trustworthy. I can trust this more than I can trust what I see. I can trust this more than I can trust what I hear. I can trust this more than what I can smell or taste or feel. This is trustworthy, and that isn't. It is not trustworthy. So if there was someone who was a pagan who saw all of these Jews spread out there, and he said, and this pagan said to Joshua, what are you going to do? He said, we're going to cross the river. Well, you're crazy. It's flooded. You'll all drown. Can you imagine what's going to happen to all these babies and all these sheep and goats? And can you imagine what happened to those old people? They're going to drown. You try to cross, you'll all drown. Can't you see how it's flooded? But Joshua says, but you can't walk by what you see. You can't go by the way things look. You can't go by the way things sound. Because God told us it's time to cross the river, and He told us how to do it. I want to suggest to you that what happened with the priest is that when the priest stepped into the water and the water was cut off above, that it decreased in depth until they were standing now not in the water, but with no water under their feet, around their feet. And so they stepped forward again. Now I want to suggest to you that what they had to do was step by step by step, walk down deeper and deeper and deeper into the riverbed. As the water receded, or as their feet progressed, as they walked forward further and further, that the water dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped. Now how would you feel? Simeon's sitting over there. Simeon, how would you feel? We've got some other little boys and girls around here. Here's Dwight. He's not little. Dwight, how would you feel if Dad was one of the priests? If Dad was one of the priests, Simbo, And they're carrying the ark and they're stepping down there, would you feel like, hey, when can I come? Would you feel like that? You wouldn't feel that way. How would you feel, Sim? We'd say, Dad, can I come? Dad, when can I come? Would you feel like that? That's the way I feel. How many of the rest of you are little boys inside? Girls are allowed to be little boys just right now, just for a little bit. Okay. But that's the way I feel. I think these people are setting an example for us, and I want to do what they're doing. And you know, there is such an example This example is over and over and over in Scripture of people walking by faith. And the priests walked by faith. When they reached the bottom of the river and the water had gone down, the Scripture says the people crossed over dry shod. When they reached the bottom of the river and they stayed there until all the people were clean passed over, Joshua said to the 12 men he'd picked out, he said, "All right, now go down into the bottom of the river." And he said, "I want you to pick up 12 stones and bring them out on the Canaan side of the river and make a memorial that we will remember the day we walked by faith, dry shod, across the Jordan, and we will keep this memorial, and it will remind us every time we come to it." Did you know that there was also 12 rocks that were carried down into the bottom of the river, and there was a memorial made in the bottom of the river that maybe most of the time wasn't visible, but when the water dropped, people could see a memorial in the bottom of the river and a memorial on the riverbank. Go and read the text in chapter 4, slowly and thoughtfully, and you'll find that there were two memorials there. So, here is the lesson for us tonight, and we'll close. God would have His people not to live by the way things look, or the way the headlines in the newspaper read, or the way the stock market is going, or what the politicians are doing wrong this week, or what the neighbor said about you when the dog bit their choke, or whatever. God doesn't want us to live by circumstances and appearances. He wants us to walk by faith, believing His Word in spite of every circumstance we face. We're going to close there, and I'm going to leave a challenge to you. I want you to watch as you're reading your Bible this week. Who else do you see walking by faith? And do you take those as your role model, as your example? Do you say, that's the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to be like those six, like those priests, those four priests. I want to be like Abraham. I want to be like Noah. I want to be like, there's some others I haven't told you about. We'll come and look at again. That's who I want to be like. I'm not interested in being like Hollywood movie stars and all this sports celebrities and things like that. I'd really like to be like someone that walked by faith. I want to walk by faith too. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray again.